Are we still here?
I'm here.
Cool, me too. Hi, are you here?
They cut us off somehow. They kind of dropped it. The energy got too high between us.
Oh, interesting. Have we been dismissed?
Yeah. Dan, are you still here? They dropped Dan, too. There were three of us here.
Hi, are you here still?
You, me, and Dan.
Right, I'm back again.
Hi.
Is Dan here?
Yeah, I just had to unmute.
Oh, okay.
Don, are you here from BBS?
I think he started, but he got on a countdown and he forgot about one.
All right. So that means we are
down to one.
Means we are Robot Life through BBS Radio. Thank you all to those people that are joining in through BBS Radio. We have a rocky start over here. Welcome to the call. We had another person join you.
Hi, Robin Ronnie.
Hey, Robin and Ronnie. Welcome to the call.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for...
I like it.
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Gail from New Jersey.
Good evening to you, Gail. Welcome to the call.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Who else joined in? Please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Brian Ventura.
Hey, Brian. Welcome.
Well, thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. More people join in. Please say your name and location.
It's Dharmananda. I'm in my bedroom.
Hello, Dharmananda.
In Boulder, Greece. California.
All right.
Up in the Redwood.
People join in. If you have a chance, please say your name and location.
Good evening. This is Raiden from northern New Mexico.
Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for being here. More people have joined in. Please say your name and location.
This is Terry from Dallas.
Hi, Terry. Good evening. Welcome.
Hello. Hi.
All right. Have more people joined in? If so, feel free to say your name and location.
Melinda in Las Vegas. Hello.
Who's this from Las Vegas?
Melinda.
Hi, Melinda. Welcome to the call.
Hi. Thank you.
Brian is here as well.
Oh, hi.
Hope you recognize it. All right. So, and I welcome those people that are listening in through BBS Radio Online. Thank you for being here. This is our Wednesday call, meaning if you have questions, you might get an answer.
Okay.
Submit your question per email, and we will take it from there. We are 3 minutes away from the official starting time.
I was going to submit that question I asked you, Heinz, but I didn't know how to submit it, so I didn't do anything about it.
You still have a chance.
Hi, how is Terry Friedman doing?
You know, I have not heard from him lately, but I guess he's getting used to his new location. We had somebody else join in here on the conference call. We welcome you.
Yes.
Your name and location.
Martha Spokane, Washington.
Hi, Martha. Welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing well.
All right, great. Who else joined in? We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Cleo from Connecticut. Good evening.
Hi, Cleo. Good evening and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right.
Hi, this is Don from Northern Ohio. Hi, Heiss, everybody.
Hello, Don. Thank you for being here. How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Glad to hear it.
All right.
Where's our leader?
Who? Yeah, old self leader.
I don't mean a leader, you know what I mean. The one that comes with no pants at times.
The one who's organizing it. I'm welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Good evening, this is Edna.
Good evening, Edna. How are you doing, sister?
Oh, being ganz good, thank you.
All right. Sehr good.
How's Carla, huh?
Carla was on the call here on Monday. She, I don't know if she dropped, because I had to leave the call in the middle.
She was kind of sick that day. She was tending to her husband. I was wondering if she's on tonight.
Okay. She probably won't be, but I welcome the next caller. Please state your name and location.
Only if you want to.
But only if you want to. For being here anyway. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Anna from Kent, Washington. Hello.
Hello, Anna. Welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. Very good.
All right. And somebody else joined in with you. We welcome you. Please say your name and location.
Hey, this is Wynn.
Hello, Wynn.
Hi, guys.
I welcome you to the show.
Well, thank you so much. Hey, is this Don?
Yes.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
All right, I'm going to turn off the dings.
Is Marilyn here today?
Which Marilyn?
All right.
Marilyn in Flagstaff? No. Okay. Is Terry here?
Terry is not here yet.
Terry is becoming such a prima donna.
He has a good teacher.
He is a former saint.
Who is that, Carla?
Yes. I'm
Carla?
In Florida.
Oh, Florida, not Florida, Carla. All right, let me go see where Terry is.
And those people that came in here in the last, feel free to say your name and location.
This is Ron in Mountain Grove. Glad to be here.
Welcome to the call, Ron.
Thank you.
Terry, are you there? Come on, everybody's waiting.
Are there more people who want to announce themselves?
I didn't unmute myself, did I?
No, you didn't.
We hear everything.
Okay. All right. Terry's coming on, hopefully. Krasnowski's going to get a busy signal because it's so late.
Now, what if you dial the alternative number when you're calling in late? Does it work?
Well, I haven't tried that because I always just go to Skype, and Skype seems to work when the phone doesn't, you know?
Yeah.
And Terry doesn't have... I have Skype on my smartphone, okay? So,
Oh, you have Skype on your smartphone. That's cool.
Yeah. So, it's kind of neat.
Yeah, now I see you. Hi, Vin.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
I've called in late before, and yes, you can.
Yeah, you need to be alert. Sometimes you need to keep on trying to get in.
Can a listener get in on Skype?
Yep, everyone.
In fact, there's even a Skype number for these calls. So if you have free Skype... you can get in.
I do.
Yeah. Now, you know, with Skype, you have to make a contact with who you want to call when you're making a free call, right?
Yes.
And I think the Skype number is free conferencing and then the phone number that we normally dial. And that doesn't work through the last four digits of the phone number. And then submit that as a contact request. That means you need, since we have three different phone numbers, I believe, I think Monday and Wednesday are the same. But you submit that as a contact. You have to submit two. And they're on computers, so they automatically accept you as a contact, you know, in a few minutes usually. And then you use that, and it'll be just like a telephone. You know, it'll ask you for the PIN. And and you're in.
Who do you look at?
Well, you look at, look in the mirror and watch yourself.
Do we get to look at you or Heiss, or is it a picture?
No, no, because it's going through free conferencing. And free conferencing, it's not a Skype, it's a Skype-to-Skype call, but it's not going to my Skype, okay? It's going to free conferencing, and they don't have video.
Okay.
Now, they do have something, which maybe I'll do sometime, but where you can have a little program that you put on your computer that you can log into free conferencing, and then you'll see a video. But, you know, the problem with that is I would have to comb my hair.
You know, maybe you should do a, you know, everybody's making apps for anything and everything. Maybe you should make an app, and then we could just dial into the app.
Well, that's a possibility, okay? But, you know, quite frankly, you know, I was going to say this, cause I should start, maybe I'll start the recording. Let me see how Terry is doing, okay?
Terry is here.
Oh, Terry's here. Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Okay, so let's get started. And
hey, Whit, how you doing?
Who's that?
It's Marshall.
Oh, hi, Marshall.
Hey, how you doing?
I'll get to know your name sooner or later, okay?
All good.
I mean, I know your name. I'll recognize your voice.
Yeah, I don't recognize your voice.
One day Marshall's going to come in because he has really, really strange experiences. One day I'm going to invite him to talk about it. He's had communication. Okay, let me just say he believes he's had communication with angelic sources. Okay, and they seem to be setting him up for something to do in the world. Is that Chris agreeing with me, or is he sleeping?
Yes, it's me.
I don't recognize your voice, but I recognize Chris's snoring. That wasn't a snore. No, somebody's breathing. I don't recognize who's breathing. Do you know who's breathing? God, everyone's breathing. I shouldn't say that. Right?
Yes, but I'm gasping for breath.
Kundalini.
All right.
Kundalini breathing.
Let's mute everybody here.
All callers are muted. This conference is being recorded.
This is February 4th, 2015, Wednesday. And this is our question and answer call. And Terry, you're making a lot of rattling sounds in the background. Are you there?
No, she's Terry. Muted.
Now she's muted, but now I can't hear her.
Hi. Hi, I muted myself so I wouldn't make noise because I was plugging into a different charging source.
Okay. Are you set up now?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I want to address something. And that is, there's an aspect of these calls that can seem to be unprofessional. Some people listen in, and if you're listening for the first time, it can sound that way. But there is a method to the madness. Now, I have given many lectures, and I think I'm more professional when I go up on stage for an hour and I have to introduce the work and I'm still spontaneous. I still make it up as I go along, but there's a demand for a more professional presentation. People are seeing you for the first time. It's kind of like if you're going in for a job, you got to get your coat and tie on, perhaps. And then after you're at the job, you get more casual. And these calls are like after we're on the job. And it's not meant to be professional. Being professional would damage, to a certain extent, the energy of the call. And so oftentimes people, sometimes, not often, but sometimes, people that are coming in who have heard about it, and they expect extreme level of professionalism, they're disappointed when they don't find it. And even when Terry is channeling, if you notice, in fact, she might share something about this, when she's channeling, sometimes people think she's making it up because she says, wait a minute, and then she comes back. And there are other people that channel that are extremely precise and concise. Say Abraham, and what's his last name, Jerry?
Hicks.
And even Ramtha is very articulate and precise when he channels, and he takes on the role of being a teacher, and he is a teacher. And he is, you know, impressive in that way. And I can respect all of that. And the reason that it seems to work for what we're doing, and I say that this has been something we have been learning as we go. And I'm still learning. So as I learn, I integrate things I've learned into these calls. But we want to create a non-linearity. You know, the mind is logical. And when you do a call where you're trying to appeal to the mind, you're putting out ideas, that's one way of doing something. But on these calls, there is an aspect to where our energies are visiting each other while the call is taking place. Now, I believe that's true. This is one of the, there's things that you can't prove logically. And if somebody was listening and saying, one is putting us on, that's not true. Well, you can believe that. That's fine. But my experience is that our energies are touching each other during the call. And also the energies of our sources are touching us. And we are creating a group energy by doing what we're doing. And when somebody is listening, and they're listening just in their head, and they're listening just with their logic, and they're just listening to the ideas, there are lots of great ideas and thoughts that are shared on this call. And simultaneously, they are missing the underlying energy of this. And sometimes it takes a while to get it. Sometimes somebody gets it right away, and sometimes I get an email from somebody that's listening for 6 months or a year, and suddenly they get it. And the reason you don't get it right away is because oftentimes you have to go through certain movements in your own consciousness. You have to go through letting go of stuff, getting out of your mind and moving into kind of a meditative, neutral space. You see, if an energy is going to visit you, that you're going to feel, you have to be empty inside, or neutral rather than empty. But you have to be receptive. In order to be receptive, first of all, you have to be trusting what you're receptive to. And if you're not trusting, then you have to keep checking it out till you decide that either you trust it or you don't. Because if you're not trusting, you're not going to let something in. And that's the way it should be. It's like we have to earn your trust. And the only way we can do that is by consistency and you feeling our intent. And our sources have to win our trust. They had to win my trust. And the only way they did that was by consistency and intent. And then we would start to notice this energy, and we'd say, is that them? And it would be like a question mark. And I kept testing it and testing it. And, of course, when I asked them, they said it was them. But we're dealing with invisible things that in no way can be validated scientifically. So we may be entertaining on these shows, but it's not, the entertainment is like on the surface, and it's only to help get your mind out of the way so that you can feel the energies. And it's not entertainment as a distraction, so to speak. At least that's my intent, and I hope it's not that. But if there's no problem at all with having fun, laughing, joking, because that helps to get you into a neutral space so that you can be open to these energies if you want to. And it's totally free will. So you can get these calls at whatever level you are applying yourself. You know, if you just want to hear the information and say, that's very interesting, then you'll hear it on that level. If you want to open yourself to the idea that there's energies of each other and we can feel each other and that we can feel these sources and they can feel us and they can add a loving energy, project it towards us that can help us feel more balanced. And of course, the real key to this is the law of one, that everything is part of the same energy. There's only one energy in the universe. So as we combine energies and feel that, we're just moving into different states of oneness with different parts of ourselves and the highest truth. And the highest truth is like, I am you, you're me, we, and we are all together. That's what John Lennon said. But it's one thing to say that, and it's another thing to experience it. And as you move into the experience of that, then compassion is a result. You can't help but opening up to more compassion. And what is compassion? One is feeling another person and moving into the experience of that I know what they're going through. That's part of me that went through that. And then there's a loving and a caring that expresses itself. And that's actually happening for many of the people in our group. They meet each other, they have that loving connection, and in different ways they support each other in one way or another. But it's a very authentic support. You know, these kinds of connections and relationships amount to sacred, okay? They're not trivial. And oftentimes, they're lifelong connections. And, you know, someday, I think I'm going to talk about something in more depth, which is a very important distinction that I learned a long time ago. And it has to do with magnetic light and spiritual light. And it's very tricky because somebody can exhibit magnetic light. I can do that. You can do that. It's not negative. It's just, it's an expression through our bodies. The world would look at it with the word charisma, i.e., you know, you look good, you radiate good energy, and people, we all enjoy being around people like that. But it's magnetic light, which means it's not, it doesn't stick unless it goes into spiritual light. And in spiritual light, it sticks. It sticks because, you know, the people, you guys on the calls, I feel you in between the calls. And you're just up here entertaining. And when the call's over, it's over. It is over when it's over. But I can feel you. I can think of you and feel your energy. Many of you can feel each other's energies. Hives can feel your energy. I know it. Terry can really feel your energy. Like Terry, oftentimes when somebody's going through a hard time, and she'll be laying there, and I say, what are you doing? And she says, I'm praying for so-and-so. The Elohim can feel your energy. So there's a big energetic dance that happens. And if we sound charismatic on the call, it's a charisma or a magnetism. It's not just limited to the physical expression. And, you know, sometimes people will look at a call like this and they'll think there's a technique we're doing or that they can mimic something and they can do it too. And of course they can, but they can only do it if they connect to the spiritual light or the Holy Spirit. They can't do it by mimicking the form because the form is magnetic. And there's juice behind the form that continues after the call. And many of you have experienced that. And that starts a growth in you that is never stops once you get it, okay? And so on that note, I'm going to start with our questions for tonight. And,
I would like to say something also.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, sometimes when, in fact, quite often, when I'm channeling, the Elohim are interacting. If they're asked a question on a certain subject, then they go and they take a look. For instance, there was one fellow that had died, and his mother asked if he was okay and what was going on with him. Well, then there's a pause, and they find, they don't always find the person, but sometimes the person isn't available in the field, but very often they find the person. And then in this one case, they found the person, and
now they were dealing with the person who had died. And the person who had died was scared out of his mind and was petrified, scared to move. He didn't know what happened, and he was scared to make a move for fear that he'd mess up. And but he was stuck. He was taking drugs. He got stuck out of his body. He couldn't get back, and he was just stuck in a paralysis. And so then they evaluated the situation, and they gave him a little greeting, hello. It's like, and he responded. He says, "I gotta call my mom. I promised I'd call my mom." But this interaction to somebody listening to the channeling wouldn't sound that smooth, because there was the contact time, there was the interaction between their talking to the fellow and his response, but they're reporting what's happening, but there is a response time. So sometimes it seems they might say, wait a minute, and they're checking things out, and then they report. So it's not like yadda, 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 yadda. There's interaction time. This is real live stuff going on right now with the channeling. And so that's one of the reasons why it just doesn't go yadda, 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 yadda. Anyway, that's my comment.
Well, thank you. And so, when we first started, the first time we asked a question about someone else was in 2003, I believe, with Terry. And I'm sitting there talking to this voice that says they're the Elohim, and I'm trying to figure out who they are. How does this work? Are they God? I knew Elohim was the word for God. What's the experience of that? Can they do anything? What's the limits of the relationship? And of course, they did that thing with my sister where her lupus disappeared, and it seemed like I'm talking to the source. I asked them, and something like that happens. It's like, where do you go with that? How does that unfold? How does that expand? And here we are. This is how it's expanded from that time. And I see that they have, in an old paradigm of the word God, you would think God is omniscient. God is omnipotent. Right? And I think that's, on one level, that's probably true. But God is everything, and so we are part of all that. And the Elohim is part of all of that, but they're a far bigger part than we are, as is the Ra group, a far bigger part than we are. And so it's like, it's really God interacting with God. And that's what we're doing here. And we're a lower aspect of God. They're a higher aspect of God. And the traditional thought of God being omnipotent and omniscient might be not quite true. In that way, but the Elohim
The Elohim, they don't say that they're God.
No, I know it. I know it. But sometimes people think that on the calls, okay? And they're an aspect of all that is. They're just a big aspect. And they can go move their energy and look at something down here when they're requested. They can look at you. They can look at your dilemmas. And sometimes Terry may not get it all right in the way she expresses it. This is like a really kind of seat of the pants, not perfectly precise experience. That's what I get it as. Now, if someone thinks there's a better experience, let me know, and I'd like to check it out. So far, this is like one of the most amazing things I have ever experienced, to get this huge breath of understanding of the big picture of how the universe works from the sources that are at the top. And it makes sense. It makes sense to my logical mind. And for many of you listening, it's making sense to you. It puts pieces together of this vast puzzle that don't seem to make sense. How do they all integrate? And this is coming up with a huge integration. And one of the tricks is, being in this realm, is learning very carefully how to distinguish between magnetic light, which is charisma, and spiritual light, which is compassion, and very high. That may not be the best. I'm going to talk about it on Sunday, because once you get this, once you can get this distinction, your level of discernment goes up. You see how to evaluate things. You know, there's so many people talking right now and getting attention. They're doing this, that, and the other. And some of them are really contributing and valid. And others are on big ego trips, saying, look at me. Look what I can do. And they're working in a magnetic light. And there's sources on the other side that even can channel through people that are working on magnetic light. And it is really tricky. If I didn't go through all the experiences I've gone through, I don't think I could figure it out. I think I would get deceived. I would. It's just too tricky. But just look, if anyone wants you to give up your power, say, follow me. I am it. I have the answers. I'd really test that one really strongly before you jump in and get too involved. Okay, on that note, let us go through the channeling. And, you know, I make the disclaimer once again that this is an imprecise thing. Go with the answers that you can use, that you can apply, and that can make a change. Because once you use something, and if it works, then you know it was right because it worked. And the answers for one person may not be the answer for another person. So be open to that. And ask questions. You know, one of the great things about asking a question, and this is one of the questions they answered for me in 2003, and I said, is there any benefit in you answering somebody's question besides just the information that's contained in the answer? And they said, when we answer somebody's question, we have to move into their field and feel their energy in order to come up with the answer. And that when we leave their field, it leaves a track. And that track is available if the person chooses to look for it, to help that person expand into a higher hologram and even connect to the Elohim. So there's a great benefit to asking a question on these calls. And if you're listening and you've never asked, I urge you to take advantage, because this is a really rare thing to be doing in this realm live. No secrets, no private meetings. And again, one of the things about asking questions. Now, Carla Ruckert, you know, has a whole thing about not asking transitory questions because they can lead to a lower source coming in to answer the question, and even a negative source. So we sometimes dance on the line of the, allowing certain questions to come in. And it seems, what I've noticed is, even when somebody asks a transitory question on our calls, you know, a transitory question is like, should I marry Joe or Jim? Or is an earthquake going to strike L.A.? On what day is it going to happen? Well, first of all, within that question, you assume that there is a day and they would know. And that we've learned that everything in the future is a in-process deal that we are creating. Meaning the human, all of humanity. And the more people that have more expanded connections to higher realms that are predisposed towards the positive, the better the creation is. So anything is open to shift. I believe that every time I'm on George Norrie and a bunch of people come into our calls, we change the paradigm slightly. If I have a best-selling book and this work gets out, again, it's an opportunity to change the paradigms, because we're moving the trajectory of the future into a higher paradigm, a higher timeline, okay? And yes, you can make a projection from a lower timeline. You could say, if everything is just the way it is right now, on what date will something happen? And there might be an answer to that that is only based on the present moment. And if that could shift tomorrow, and yet if you say it, you're locking in that trajectory just by saying it. Everyone will start believing it. So that's the problem with making those kinds of predictions. And right. if somebody's doing that, then be sure to remember this aspect of things, okay? It's like there's lots of stories where there's a fire and everything is destroyed, but somebody was praying in one house, and the fire went around that house, okay? And, Joe, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, there have been a couple instances when we were channeling. One was in a private session where they just commented there's going to be a 6-point earthquake tomorrow in Los Angeles. And, I mean, it was just real fast offhand, and then there was. There was another one where we were on the line, and I think you were in Sedona and I was in L.A., and the line kept dropping out, and we kept having to call back, and asked the sources what was going on, and they said the grids were, like, moving and electrically challenged. They were electrically moving, and that there was going to be an earthquake, and you were saying, can it be lower magnitude and stuff? And they said yes, but it can't. It's gone too far. The earthquake has to happen, and then the next day there was 6.8, but it wasn't in center where any population was. It happened in the Gulf of California, and so it's like sometimes it can be changed, but within certain parameters.
Yeah, thank you. Okay, so let's get to the questions, because we've talked too long, and we have a lot of questions. Father,
all
Mother,
right.
God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection for all that are on this call, and all that are on the internet, and that all that are listening to the replays that would like to participate in that, while honoring the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra'an, and we greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are delighted to be with you, each and every one of you. It is a precious moment in time, a sacred moment in time, when we get a chance to so connect. Do you have questions?
Yes, this is from Anne in Burbank. She just sent it to me, but it's a really good one. I feel that I got a connection with Ra'an soon after I started listening to these calls. I see the peak light every time I meditate, and my mood and attitude have improved. I'm grateful for this. However, my financial situation only seems to get worse. I do everything I'm supposed to do. I meditate every day. I'm hopeful and try to focus on the positive. I help people whenever I can, and I get blocks and setbacks every time I try to do something to improve my finances. Now I know for sure I have souls that are trying to sabotage everything I do. About 3 weeks ago, when I was still in bed but was not fully awake, I got a message that said, "You will fail." This message repeated 3 times. I was shocked because I knew they were not my thoughts. Later, I have tried to talk to them in a loving way, like Lynn suggested. But how can you tell when they leave? Do the sources have any other ideas how to get them to leave me alone? Thank you, Anna. And, you know, I'd like to expand her question, because I think a lot of people have that issue where they do things and they are quote-unquote good and they're loving, and yet they have huge obstacles regarding money and finances. So could our sources address that? Thank you.
Thank you. Give us a moment. When you move into the energy and the energy of, say, a job that you wish to do, of a money-making activity, something that can bring in a good living for you, when you can get the enthusiasm and the energy of that job, one way you could do it would be
by meeting somebody that was in that profession or doing something in that area, and then seeing their energy and feeling their energy. Then when your energy and enthusiasm and intention is high, it can override all negative forces, whether the negative forces are coming from outside you or whether they are an implanted thought of failure from something that happened in your past and it just comes in, or it is some other factor within your own space. When you can get your energy high enough so that it can override and overtake whatever negativity may be coming to you, then in your enthusiasm, in your connections, the people around you will feel it. And you need to bring in money from outside sources. And then when the energy is high enough, then your connection with the sources that bring in your money can be cemented, fused, and made more solid.
Is that it, the answer?
Yes.
Yeah, just to add one thing from my point of experience is if you are a wanderer, if you have come into this realm to be of service here, speaking from my own experience, I get bored immediately as soon as I'm doing something just to make money, or my attention span is very short. And I have to do things that integrate and create energy connection with other people as part of what I'm doing, and then I can be motivated. But if I'm doing it just for money, I can't be motivated. It's like if I'm looking for something in the world, and I am intuitive and I can feel energy. So I will make a lot of phone calls for what I'm looking for. And Terry's seen me do this because I can zero in on the right thing. I can go on the internet and even look at somebody's picture. Now, I may not always be 100% right, but when I feel the connection, I can aim towards that thing, and I stand a much higher chance of getting something right than just looking for a job, so to speak. And if I was looking for a job, I would use that ability to feel who I wanted to work for or who I wanted to connect with. And if I didn't feel co-creative energy from looking at the website or looking at the person's picture or feeling their voice on the phone, in a really good company, the enthusiasm goes right down to whoever answers the phone. And you can feel it if you're looking for it. You might have to go through 50 or 100 things. But instead of looking for a job, look for a situation where you feel a vibe that feels the oneness energy, and the job, and if that happens to be called a job, then go after that and tell them, "I feel a connection with you." Because if you sincerely felt a connection, it will come across if you are correct. And rather than acting like somebody is going to do you a favor by giving you a job, because no one's going to do you a favor by giving you a job. And if you can hold the light and you can exhibit your light while you're looking, then the people that have a sensitivity to that energy will want you around because you help make their day go faster. Okay? Everyone has the issue of how to make their day go faster. And no one wants to be in a circumstance where it's boring and the day is just going slow. When is it going to be 5 o'clock? And somebody is going to have a company somewhere. It's probably not going to be a big corporation, but it's probably going to be a smaller company. They're going to have a company where they're going to love having people around them that help their day go faster. So next question here. This is from Rosia. Rosia, I don't know if I want to ask about the scratches today, but let me ask this one here. Since stargates, portals, vortexes, and time travel exist, this has allowed demonic beings, aliens, and others to enter Earth to harm, abduct, and kill humans and animals. Is there anything we can do to close those stargate portals? Do we want to? And the vortexes all over the world to stop the abductions, and why are they allowed to come here to torment mankind and animals too? You know, I'm going to say one little side comment here. There was a time in my life where I was being negatively attacked, and I had read that you know, there's an energy, this toroid wave energy, that is the energy that travels through the universe, through the stargates, everything, right? And I had read that a polyethylene and aluminum foil would block that energy. And so I went and was sleeping in aluminum camping bags because I thought it would protect me. Well, it did. And then when I finally asked the question about it, they said, well, it does protect you, but it also blocks you from connecting to our energy. And so there has to be another way outside of just closing off the portals, because that just closes you into a lower kind of contraction in this realm. Also, somebody else asked a question about that, the fact that the Earth is quarantined, and I'll ask that as a second question after we address this one. Thank you.
Thank you. One way to handle a situation like this is to close off within your own self any negativity, and sometimes this can be hard to do because when the negativity or the unwanted thoughts occur in your own mind, then they provide an opening for outside influences to grab on and to move in and to build on that and to use it from inside to then take you over. You can build such strength within yourself when you let negativity dissolve, go, without trying to fight it, but just move your space so it is not connected. It cannot connect to negativity from the outside. When you are strong and close off the potential for negativity within yourself, they do not have a hold to grab onto with you. When you do have an area within you that is open and
express, come through negativity, then all manner of negative can connect to you and can even leave marks on the body and can disorient you. Sometimes it is not easy to eliminate negativity within yourself and to override it, to try to disown it is not the answer, because if it is there and you just try to seal it over, it is still there and active. If you can simply let it be and let it run itself out without trying to do something, if you can just let it go, eventually you will be so boring to the negative sources that they will not want to or have any reason to interact with you. If you do not react, you take away one of their reasons for being there to create reaction.
I would assume if one lived in an environment with other spiritual beings that were calling in the light every day, that that would be a great strengthening for someone that was having this kind of experience. Is that true?
Yes, it can move them into the energy of wholeness and to exclude the negative energies if one is expressing the positive energies in their energy form naturally. And being around others that are doing this can help set the environment up to be wholesome.
And also, we have two things that our group does, which I talk about sometimes. One of them is team shift. We're small groups of people. It's not as good as living together, but they get together every day on the phone and call in the light, and they get to be friends. And that helps bring in a protective energy for someone. If anyone's interested in that, send me an email. And Edna Aschenbach has been coordinating that. And we're just starting the reading club with Marilyn. And if you send an email to readingclub.intelligent-infinity.com, it's going to be where people go around. And we haven't launched, we have a bunch of people that are waiting for the next step. And Marilyn may be doing a call tomorrow to start coordinating it. And reading excerpts from the three books we work with, The Raw Material, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and Creator Gods of the Physical Universe, because those books carry the energy of the higher sources. And this is not like a free-for-all. I'm just limiting it to those books, because I don't want to have to evaluate. There's other things out there that have a lot of earthbound wisdom to them, and some things that are out there that look good but really bring in negative energies. And I don't want to have to evaluate each thing and say, this is good, this isn't good. So I'm pretty confident on our books that that we work with, The Raw Material, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and the Creator God book, that it's mostly positive and it brings in the energies of the higher sources just by reading them and just doing things like this to keep strengthening your auric field into the positive sources. And eventually, and this has happened for people in our group, the negative just gives up. But it can take a while, because usually if negative is coming towards you on some level, it's matching something in you. And, you know, Ram Dass, I read something Ram Dass said, and he said, the entire universe exists as a playground for us to get enlightened in. So these things happen, and this is not to judge yourself. Okay, we're going over now. Hi, are we still on BBS?
Yes, we are. Open time slot after.
An open time slot, so we'll ask another question because we talked so long. Excuse me for talking and not getting right to the questions, but, you know, what I talk about are things that I think we're going through as a group, addressing them. And by saying them, it helps bring more balance to all of us, and to me and Terry, and a clear opening for the sources to come in. Rich Buckley, I'm going to answer this one because I know the answer. How do the concepts associated with the opening of the Templar seals differ from opening our seven primary chakras? And the answer to that, as I understand it, is that you can open your chakras, but your energy from the chakras may not open up to the greater universe, but they can. And that actually, I believe the Ra group determines to make the connection, to expand from just being around your body into the greater universe. And in one thing I read, it said, you know, they monitor the person's dedication and commitment to the law of one, because you can have your chakras open and actually use that for negative, okay? As I understand it. That's my answer to the question. And, okay, I'll turn it over to our sources and see if they want to expand on that. Thank you.
Thank you. As you expand your own self and your ability to take on more energy, you can ask for the seals to be undone. And when you are ready, you can receive help towards opening up your chakras. Thank you.
But is there a difference between opening our chakras, just opening our chakras, and opening the Templar seals? Can the chakras be open in a more limited basis before they expand all the way back to source?
Yes, you're very accurate in that analysis. Yes.
And does the Ra group work with this process?
If they are asked, the Elohim group also can work with that. And not only the Ra group and the Elohim group, but the angelic sources work with this also.
Okay, thank you. We'll go on with one more question. Because we're still on BBS. Thank you, Don and Doug, for letting us run a little longer. Next question is, this is from George lone wolf? The question is it possible to convert surrounding points to point negative energy into positive creative energy instead of deflecting it?
When one has negative energy that is focused toward them, if they do not react, if they simply let the energy pass through them and let it then dissolve, the trail of it, just let it dissolve and let it dissipate. If you do not react and fight it and attempt to ward it off, it can dissipate and eventually we take a look farther. We are assuming that you keep your own center and your own look at things. There can be energies, negative energies, so strong that they simply take over your body. You, in keeping your energy focused and strong so that it does not have the ability to take you over, then within your field it can dissipate. One of the other things you might do, if this is very, very strong and large, you can become larger than it and then let it dissipate and go on by. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think one of the things, questions that comes up for me is if someone or something somewhere is radiating negative energy, and that's their free will choice to do that, energy that's designed to trap you, to catch you in its web, and I don't think you can change that without violating its free will. So you might be able to dissipate the impact of that energy, but it will probably continue or reorient until whatever is creating the energy decides that it doesn't want to do that anymore. Is that accurate?
Yes, you have some sources of energy that are generated, like, for instance, a harp frequency generated from antennas that keep on going and keep on going, and one can dissipate it moment by moment as it goes on through one. However, it is keeping being created. And so this is, the individual can then, within their own framework, learn to set that frequency aside, to move it, encompass it, and move it. So one can drop their attention and response to that particular frequency that keeps coming. That is one way to handle, and everything you have said when applies also.
Yes, and also, if we take people who are saying our whole world is transmuting into the positive, which is a very nice idea, And there's a number of people that believe that. My own feeling is until enough majority of people can hold a space so there is no nest for this, whatever is radiating negative, to hold, then that will continue happening. There's no edict out that says we're converting Earth to positive, because that would violate the free will of all those people that are on a service-to-self negative path. Is that accurate?
We take a look at the word positive. Many people have different definitions for what is positive. For instance, is death positive or negative? Some people may put it into such categories. If you have the larger viewpoint of positivity as service to others, then when Earth is moving more and more towards individuals with service to others, it makes a whole definition of what is negative and what is not, and this is a very attractive goal to work towards, and the setting aside of evil. However, if you're considering negative as being things like death or maybe even some disease, that is a natural response to other things that will continue to occur. We wish to make that distinction.
Thank you. Last question for tonight, and this is from Chris in Pennsylvania. You know, it's interesting how so many people are asking questions that cross similar topics, and this one fits right in. How does one dispel a nagging, fearful thought? It surprises me that I have the thought, but being aware of the thought scares me because I don't want it to manifest. People post things on Facebook that can induce fear. Thank you.
Thank you. We have covered this to some degree when the thought occurs, but this is a little different situation in that there may be some situation that the thought is addressing and so needs to be looked at. What is the origin of the thought? Is there some danger that it is trying to warn you of something even subconscious or unconscious that is in your field that you do not know of? We mean by field, we mean in your surroundings, in your environment. Is there something in the mind of another person that is radiating to you? Is there something just keyed in from some past incident that is bothering you? So if you just take a look at the thought, and is it coming from any direction? Is it locational? Does it come from a certain part of your body? Is it something that then expands and sort of takes over your fear-based thoughts? See if you can go back to what happened just before the thought, what
triggered that thought? What happened then? Is it radiated from outside into you and is not even yours? You need more information and do not discount it until you have examined it. And why does it come up more than once? Is it something that you need to address? Or is it something based upon some past experience that you need to find out more about so you can then eventually make sense of it? And eventually it will dissipate. Why does it keep hanging on the same thought? See if you can examine that if the thought comes again and find out more, so you can find out more what to do to address it or to let it go.
Great, thank you. Okay, we're going to adjourn this call, and I thank every one of you who's here, who's listening on the replays, for participating in the energies of what we're doing, and I really hope that everyone is getting some kind of experience that keeps their life on an upward path. And you know what? This is a period of time that can be fearful. And many of you chose to incarnate during this period of time to be helpers and to keep the vibration up. And as you know, it can be challenging because there's a lot of negativity going around, a lot of negativity in the news, and I think the only way to do it is to get things close to the collar, to get people near you in your physical life that you can work together at keeping your energies above the waterline. And our, you know, our team shift and our reading club might help contribute to that. So on that note, thank you all for being here. Thank you, Terry. Thank you, Sources. We will see you, some of you, on Sunday. And I'm going to unmute everybody right now.
All callers are unmuted.
Thank you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good luck, all.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, guys.
Love to everyone.
Good night, all.